Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bode Schneiders.
Kenneth Ferland.
Tony Keel.
Oscar Velzi.
With guest co-host Dale Kent.
For the audience, we just spent about 15 minutes trying to work out a annoying humming sound coming from Dale's laptop.
And it's all Dale's fault, not ours. Welcome to Modcast, episode 21.
21?
Huh? 12. We are joined with Kenneth Impaler, WRG Ferland.
Hello.
Wouter Locutus Snyders.
Hello.
Me, Tony Garrett Zuck Keel, with special guest co-host Dale Kent.
Good day, everyone. How you doing?
Yay! With 100% less Oscar.
Unless he jumps in the middle of the show.
Which is impossible.
Which is unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he, right now at this time, is salsa dancing.
Yes.
He's probably got like 8 women around him freaking him, you know?
Yeah, and he's watching football, too.
Of course.
It was by football, I mean soccer.
Yeah, it's Euro 8. It's Euro 2008. We can't miss that.
I don't know if they watch that in South America, but... And there's no games right now, or I wouldn't be here.
It's football. Of course they watch it. Soccer.
He means that they watch the European games.
Of course.
And today in the Cool Corner, we look at the Great Combat Engineers mod by Kilvick.
Today in the Artist Sketchpad, we talked about the Great Person mod by Amra and the Final Fantasy VI Air Armor unit by Duel.
In the Cartography Room, we talked about Ringworld map scripts by Rufai.
Today, in the modern spotlight, we have Dale.
Welcome to the Code Corner, where we discuss Python and SDK mods.
It is the Move Motions and Combat Engineers mod by Kilvick.
What? Now, what the heck did you just say?
The Combat Engineers mod by Kilvick.
This sounds kind of cool. What is it?
Let's see. You get 5 new promotions added to the game, and a new rule that says basically when a unit, a siege-type unit, machine gunners not included, so just your regular siege units, are damaged, they become disabled, and they essentially go into like a no-player category, and then you have to move an engineer onto it, and then repair it, basically, with the engineer promotion. So, you've got 5 promotions, so you can get 5 levels of this new promotion. You can also join your great engineers to a unit, the same way you join great generals, and make them, like, super engineers.
What? Like, what do you mean by super engineers? Like, what can they do?
They can do this engineering ability, where they repair your siege units that have been damaged.
Now, what about, I want to see an engineer unit that can do terraforming. That's what I want to see. I want to build hills where I want them, and I want to knock down a hill.
No terraforming as of yet, but conceivably that could be added by some kind of Python script ability or even some C++ coding.
Oh, that sounds just right up your alley.
Also, perhaps building forts and improvements would be an obvious thing. I mean, once it's been so equipped with the engineering ability, you should be able to build all of them.
Oh, yeah, but it should be able to do it super fast, too, because those forts take fucking forever.
Mm. And I'd like to be able to build an enemy territory, so it's like, hey, I've got my guys, and I want to protect my stack from counterattack.
That's
build a fort, exactly what all the Roman legions did.
Yeah, but what's all the hate on engineers not being able to? It's all been hate since Civ 3. No terraforming pisses me off.
Well, terraforming was a smack thing, and I don't...
No, Civ 2. Civ 2.
Well, it was really dumb in Civ 2. It's like, oh, I just make hills appear, or I change a forest into a swamp. It was just kind of nonsensical.
But You miss it when it's gone.
Well, I never had that.
No, I don't miss it either.
All right, well...
In fact, I did have it in Smack, so I didn't miss that. It was barely appropriate in Smack either.
It was barely.
How does my terraformer raise the terrain by, like, 1,000 meters, you know, across, like, an area the size of Texas?
Elbow grease.
American ingenuity and money.
I remember someone posting about how illogical that was, that you could raise the terrain, and it's like... How did they do it? Did they get Deidre to say naughty things to the ground to make it rise?
All right, I withdraw all my terraforming things for now.
They're perhaps leveling hills, but...
Well, I'd like to create forests,
and,
but then again, I don't think that may not work in Civ 4.
There's not that much. It's not that spicy to create forests, I think. Since you've already been destroying them most of the game up to that point, it's like...
No, I want to harvest them.
It's like it takes away all of the... interesting, like, choices with chopping down a forest. Chop it down.
Well, I'm saying if you're not building any wonders, you know, you're not chopping anything out, you can spend your time seeding forests.
Yeah, and then what, wait 50 tons when they become a forest? Yeah.
And then chop them back down.
See,
your little plus 20 hammers. Like real life, though.
Yeah.
Are you after the Bob Dole Award?
Okay, well, I'd like to see them make, like, dams or hydroelectric projects or things like that. That's what real engineers actually do.
Yeah.
There isn't any kind of improvement for that civilization. Giant reservoir or something. But in any case, these engineers that he's added are just purely a combat-based system.
Oh, really?
And he even have a little bit of AI in there, too, which is really rare to actually see people do an AI that will... an implementation for the AI so that it will use the new effect that they created.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive for... For someone who looks fairly new into the community to already be tearing into the AI.
Yep. And there's even a little graphics for, I think, when you join the great engineer types.
Oh, really?
To the unit, you get three age-specific, you know, early, late, and modern, late, early, modern, whatever, graphics for that guy who follows him around. You know how
instead of a general, it's now a...
an engineer.
Now, well, except for there's one that looks like a general... who's ready to stab someone with his circle maker, his compass.
Yeah, that's a, and then there's the kind of the medieval-looking one.
Or Mathrum class stabber.
Yeah, it's kind of that Masonic-looking thingies, what do you call them? And then there's the ancient guy who's like, he's kind of like a Greek-looking guy of some sort.
With a funny hat, for sure.
Yeah, I like the hat.
The hat is cool. I mean, if I had that hat, I'd wear it. Oh, that sounds. Say
compass.
That again.
Is it a compass or a sextant?
Is that dirty word? Can we even say that on the internet? Can we say sextant?
Those are used for naval navigation.
Now, why do I need a sextant to look inside my wife's belly button?
Mm. Okay, just stop there.
Yeah,
but that's used for nautical exploration, and that's not what it is, since these guys are obviously on land.
Yeah, that's true.
And if they wanted to add naval engineers, then...
They could write on the boat, on top of the deck, somehow, graphically.
Yeah, I know. Add that to your Age of Discovery deal. Great explorer guy, and he, like, joins a ship, and then he, like, makes it, I don't know, like... Move
but it has to be episode graphic on the ship, like, joint. That's sweet.
He's like standing up there on the back of the deck.
You know, I'll figure it out for you, Dale.
A big head stuck to the top of the mast.
Oh!
And it looks around, and as it looks around, it pushes back the black.
That's really creepy.
Hey, I'm an Aussie. I'm a creepy guy.
Oh, that's true. You are. You've heard it here. All Australians are creepy.
Not as creepy as Tony.
No. No one's as creepy as me.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
I had found a couple interesting little bits of artwork. The first one is almost kind of part code. It's actually the art pack for the Great Person mod by Amra. Now, has anyone played the Great Person mod or seen a mod that has parts of it in it?
I have played this or seen parts of it. From quite a long time ago, and this appears to be an enhancement from the original.
Well, big time. The graphics have just enormously improved, and it seems like every time you get a great person, it's actually specifically a person. It shows their picture on an embroidered scroll and tells you about them a little bit.
And I see he's now got kind of an effect added to the scrolls that show pictures of what type of person it is. So there's this little cogs for the engineers and books for scientists and the little happy fad mask thingy faces for the artists. And those look really nice, quite nice.
And I tell you, it's flavor. Flavor is half of a game, man. It says, it not only does it have the name of the great person and the picture or some artwork of them, but it has a quote.
Oh yes, the quote. I always love quotes.
That is pretty sweet, and I think this might just be worth playing a Civ game with this just to have fun, have a cultural victory with this kind of thing turn on would be a lot of fun.
Yep, and the only thing I think you could, I mean, the quotes are cool, but you know what else would be even cooler, perhaps? The little Pedia text kind of thing, the little historical stuff, and it's like, look, our game is educational.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Hammer, you heard that. You could just make a little text box window with a scroll bar under all this with the Pedia entry. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, or if the people did actually end up in the Civilpedia under, like, great people, and you could just, like, hey, and you see this picture and all the other stuff about them.
You can just link it right there.
Yeah, yeah. You just put a link or something like that.
Oh, my God. Emma's just had a heart failure from thinking about the 300 Pedia entries on great on great people he's had now got to make.
No, no, no. All you got to do is just type the name in Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Copy,
I thought about
paste,
that for the original Civ 4, but do you mind if we're looking for?
Okay.
That's what I did when I had a mod for Leonardo's Workshop. I just copied like 10 pages of text from Wikipedia and put it in the Pedia.
Yeah.
That's how I fill out my Civilopedia as well.
That would be great if Wikipedia didn't suck balls.
That's true. Wikipedia does suck, but I'd rather know.
Especially for historical stuff. It's really, really bad. Some of the science articles are quite decent, but not the history.
Hey, let me
stuff.
Let you know. I'd rather know something that's skewed and biased than nothing at all. Okay, Amra.
I don't know whether to be pleased or disturbed by that.
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying at this point. Just don't listen to me, okay? The listeners already know better.
Now, one thing I wonder is...
We never listen to you, Tony.
All right. The next thing I wanted to show is more artwork by Duel. Now, Duel is a fun artist because Duel will do things like Final Fantasy VI units. And this one seems to be flying armor, air armor, for Final Fantasy VI.
It looks like the Cult of Power 2 undersea engineer.
It does.
Really?
Except for the helicopter props.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it had a little...
kind
of look to it.
Yeah, well, that's Duel's
style. And Cult of Power 2 doesn't have that weird Japanese girl thingy in it.
It's a girl. It's obviously a girl.
It's a Japanese anime girl.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks low poly to me, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, you'd want the helicopter props to be animated.
He says here that he has steam effect around the smokestacks and some basic helicopter animations, and he uses the Alaskan Assassin's flamethrower attack, so it sprays fire at you.
Oh,
so Duel went all out. I'll just pretend like that you guys know what I'm talking about.
Sure, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Tony, why won't you just shut up?
Okay.
Quest I have for this unit is that the claws front do the pinchy movement, you know, ching ching ching, ay 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 ay.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
And that's its attack, like it moves forward and starts pinching the men, you know, cutting them in half, and that'd be cool.
Yes, I'm crushing your head.
Exactly.
This unit was from a game released, though, in the early 90s called Final Fantasy III, and later re-released in, like, early 2000s as Final Fantasy VI for PS1.
Well, that's Final Fantasy 27.
Yeah, of 3 to the 84th power.
Yeah, I can't believe it. We're all going to be 80, and it's like, come here, hey, you know, come play Final Fantasy 87 with Grandpa, you know?
And each Final Fantasy game will be progressively more lame than the last.
So it's like Rambo.
In the cartography room, we talk about maps and simple scenarios.
Ringworld script is a lot of fun, and if anyone knows my email address, it's ringworldwoo, so I had to add this one.
Yeah, the Ringworld one looks really good.
Has anyone gave it a shot besides me? Because it's a fun map, and once I tell you what the weird glitches it causes in Civ 4, you'll want to play it.
Played around with it for a little bit, but only a little bit, so I didn't notice any glitches or anything like that.
Well, look at the screenshot. It's quite apparent. Look at the second from the top screenshot.
Yeah, okay, that's to be expected.
Quite odd.
Is that a shot from that old show, V?
Yeah, that does look like the V spaceship. But so basically the idea of this script is the title's based off of a Ringworld novel by Larry Niven, and the script is supposed to emulate the planet created in those novels by making it a few squares wide landmass, and then some water, and then the ice pulls. So your map's height is maybe at tops 10 squares, but its width is enormously out of proportion. Enormously out of proportion. Like, and there's some weird things that happen with this. Like, you will keep meeting new civs for a long time, because you'll just, your little explorer will get further around the giant ring. And another thing is it's all about the cutoff points, and it's all about the conquest on this map, because you don't have much space.
Don't you actually get boxed in really quickly by your neighbors, and that doesn't allow you to explore any further to the sides? That seems like a problem.
Well, you know, you need to have open borders agreements or war going on to keep exploring. But listen, I did the exact opposite, Water. I sent an axeman, a settler, way further than I should have, until I got to the Egyptians, and then set my city there and boxed everyone else. And I did that on both sides of my empire.
Exactly. It seems to me that you can fairly easily exploit this by indeed quickly sending and building two settlers and each sending them in a different direction and just claiming a lot of land.
Oh, yeah. But it's a lot of fun.
Well, also, it's got water along the edges, so it seems like pretty easily, once you get caravels, you're going to be able to circumnavigate.
You can circumnavigate it on foot. And you can also change the settings to a solid ring, where it'll only be, I don't know, I think it might have border water, but I'm not sure. But you can make the ring unbroken, or you can have it slightly broken with little rivers and little harbors, or you can have it where it's straight up islands and chunks and little continents, but everything's thin and wide.
It's a really, really cool concept, and it's definitely something that should be fun to play once or twice, but I'm not sure that it would be really hold up as something that's infinitely replayable, because it does seem like every game would sort of unfold in exactly the same way. I mean, and this was originally created for a tournament for one specific game, so it actually makes sense that way.
Probably be a lot of fun for online.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I was about to say that too. It'd be really fun trying to come up with counters for the types of strategies that would be used online.
Yeah, definitely, listeners. If you just map scripts, as you all know, breathe new life into the vanilla version of Beyond the Sword or Civ. So play this one. It'll give you at least a couple hours of guaranteed entertainment.
I think I'll forward this to our tri-league guys, see if they can do a tournament for this one, because that should be fun.
Sweet! We can start a modcast team.
get defeated in the first 10 turns. By barbarians.
I'll have none of that.
Two AIs start, like, right on either side of you.
Oh, just stop jinxing my modcast league thing.
I've seen you play, Tony.
Oh, come on now. You know it took me only almost a year to beat your mod?
Modding Spotlight, where we interview and talk about modders and what they do in the Civ community.
Dale, I'm so glad that you finally came onto the show. In fact, a long time ago, you were actually going to be one of the panelists on this show, but because of all these projects you had going on and everything else, you couldn't really come on, but here you are.
I'll tell the truth. It was because you wanted me to wake up at 3 a.m. on Sunday.
Well, it's also because of what I wanted you to wear while you were on the show.
Yeah, we've got a show over here on Friday afternoons on the radio called Pants Off Friday, and Tony wanted me to go a bit less.
Oh, man.
Oh, scary.
Oh, the truth comes out. Yeah, that is scary.
Thank God for audio media.
So we're here. We want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. We're going to ask you some questions, but Dale, for those of you who have no freaking clue who you are, what do you do, and what mods have you done, and blah, 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 blah.
Okay, my wife's summary, I'm a nerd.
I think that's a given. You're a nerd and a geek, and several other classes.
If you're on the show, you're a nerd and a geek, yeah.
You might be an uber dork.
But yeah, for the nerd summary, I'm Or if you play Beyond the Sword, you'll notice there's a little scenario in there called Road to War, which Tony and I worked on.
Yeah.
I've also worked on Age of Discovery for the original C4 Vanilla, which is a mod I released, based on colonization, Age of Discovery, Americas, blah, blah, blah. I've done a lot of independent code projects, like Dale's Combat mod, advanced bombing missions, yeah.
You've done it all.
Yeah, I've done quite a lot. I haven't done any artwork, though.
Yeah, he sucks at art.
You forgot Desert War.
Oh, he did forget Desert War.
He's got so many mods, he forgets some of them.
Yes, Desert War as well.
Yeah, and Desert War came with the very first release of Civ 4, so that's not the meanest accomplishment.
Yeah, I'll say. And, of course, I worked on that one before there as well, so...
Dale, what's the deal with the accent?
What accent? I don't have an accent. You guys have the accent.
No, Dale, no. We're Americans. We talk normal.
Ah.
I beg to differ.
But what's normal these days? Introducing philosophy car.
Whatever's American. By definition.
Yes, that's correct. My fellow American friend here is correct.
And for all our Chinese listeners, I'm sure you just got censored.
You know, we get censored quite a bit in China, I imagine.
Actually, surprisingly, I think we're not. Last time I checked, because that's going to change, you know?
Yeah. No, but what's the deal with the accent, Dale? Where are you from?
Okay, I'm from Melbourne in Australia, which is right down the... southern tip of Australia, but not Tasmania, the island. That's where we send all our loonies. Like, yes, England sent all their loonies to Australia, but we sent ours to Tasmania.
Mm. Wow, that's got to be pretty hardcore when you're, like, exiled to an even more cruddy part of some place that everyone else was exiled.
Well, I could have said New Zealand.
Ooh.
Sorry, Blake.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have Blake on sometime.
Dale, what do you do in that boring real life thing?
You what? What's that?
Yeah, real life. What's that?
It's the thing when we're making our money so we can do all our fun things.
Money? What's that?
It's when you get more games.
Yeah. Oh, crikey! Yo!
I get them for free.
Yeah, you've got a good point there.
Yeah.
And for those listening at home, that's a really good reason to test.
Yeah, this is true. So what do you do in real life?
Okay, I've got a family, two and a half year old, so I don't get very much sleep at all at the moment. Bouncing off the walls. Real life job, I'm an IT manager, so I'm usually one standing there with a whip going, quick, quick, work harder, slaves.
Code monkeys. We will give you peanuts if you go faster.
And I'm worse than yourself, Ken, because they do ASP web programming.
You.
Wouter, you think of something good to ask.
Did I tell you I was that tired?
No, now this will be a good question because you won't make any sense.
See, I'm completely blanking out. I actually had a list of questions earlier, but...
just pull one of those, you know, like a chef from Control-Alt-Delete. Why does purple hate peanut butter, you know, or something, you know? Just a totally non-sequitur question.
So, can you tell us what you're working on right now in terms of Civ mods, if anything?
At the moment, I'm just finalizing it and testing a few last changes to the Road to War add-on pack 2. I'll be coming out with that very soon. That's going to include a world map. Finally, got the world map finished.
Sweet.
Woohoo!
And, yeah, I'm just finishing up a couple of last bugs.
Does it have New Zealand on it? I don't want to offend your neighbours.
Yeah, it does, but I actually think it falls under Australia.
Ooh. All you Kiwis out there, you heard what the Aussie said.
Hey, we did serve as the ANZAC, Australian New Zealand.
Oh, that's true. There you go. Whatever that is, that's true.
Whew, they bought it. Sorry, Kiwi.
No, Dale, as one father to another, I remember when you and me first met over the internet, We both had kids of very close ages who would do very similar things like, well, back in the day they would spit up, but now they do things like tear things up and smash things.
Yeah, and
peanut butter in the VCR.
Yeah, kick soccer ball at the TV, and cheese sandwiches in the DVD player, and no, I haven't had that one yet.
My DVD player just stopped working, so now I'm starting to get paranoid.
Check for cheese.
That might be a good idea. I have a nose for cheese. Now, Oscar, ask him a question. Oscar?
Huh?
Oh, that's right, Oscar. You were playing hooky.
Or is he trying to pick up chicks with his salsa dancing?
Oh, man, that guy wants to have a wife, or two, or three.
Well, at least he has one.
Oh, yeah, true. Let's see, what else is interesting about Dale? Road to War. Gosh, that was a lot of work we did on that.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, we're working on it for 12 months.
Maybe for people who haven't played it, can you explain shortly what Road to War is?
In three words, Road to War is about World War II.
Yeah, it's the first official Civ 4 mod that tackles World War II in its entirety, and not just one portion of it. You can play any theater of World War II in Dale's mod that I got to help with.
That is correct. In the official release version, there were three maps. 1936 starts for both Europe and the Pacific, and there was also a 1939 start just before Germany invaded Poland, European map. But I've released a couple of add-ons to it which have added a lot more maps. For instance, 1941, the Pacific, just before America and the Commonwealth nations entered the war against Japan. You've also got, like, 1938 in Europe, so it gives you, like, 12 months to finish building up your troops before Germany starts the war. Yeah, so I've added quite a lot. And in the next version that gets released in the next couple of weeks, there'll be a 1936 global war, which is the whole world.
We'll make a 1939 one, too, because that's my favorite to play.
Why I love Poland time. Doesn't build 50 artillery and defeat you?
No, I don't really like playing Hermie because I just trounce everybody if I'm German.
With those target tanks?
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Oh, you Germans are the most evil in Civ. That's one thing you can say for World to War is if you're playing as Russians or British, it's going to be bad, but you can beat it.
Actually, I reckon the hardest challenge is playing as France if Germany gets a real good start against Poland.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad. But, yeah, the mod's huge.
So do you have plans beyond the second expansion pack? Do you want to do anything else with that scenario, or is it done once you release the second add-on pack?
Once I release this next version, that's going to be it. Basically, with the full add-on pack 2 that I released a few months ago, I considered it complete then, but there's just a couple of bugs that I want to clean up, plus also finish the world map. Like, one of the biggest things is artillery. It's hugely unbalanced at the moment. Like, you stack, like, 10 artillery in a city, and they can't be moved just because of the active defense bombing and the fact that they're immune to enemy bombardment from other artillery. So there's just a couple of small things I wanted to fix up to complete the whole mod.
Well, sweet.
And do you know what you'll be moving on to after that? Will it be Age of Discovery or your combat mod, or what are you planning?
I'll probably be starting on colonization mods after that, you know, adding in range bombardment for artillery and in colonization and stuff like that.
The usual.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how it would play.
Well, it's a little lot harder to justify in colonization, as, you know, like, they didn't have, like, artillery able to shoot miles and miles. You know.
Rocket assist 155mm howitzers. What, they didn't have them?
No, that was about 200 years later.
I'll try 400 years later.
I don't know, but I'm sure your Age of Discovery is going to be awesome.
Well, it'll have Portugal
first.
Be more things to discover.
The last Portugal, yeah.
Yeah, it'll at least have that.
Bad Portuguese people.
Exactly.
So can you talk about what else will be in Age of Discovery 2? You were talking about including West Africa, I think.
It really all depends on what ends up in Civilization 4 Colonization. Like, at the moment, I'm just throwing ideas around based on what's in the original Colonization 1. Like, for instance, I've got the four nations, but, you know, other big nations during the Age of Discovery were, well, you got Scandinavian civs, like Norway, for instance, but they played a huge role in actually discovering North America. Russia with Alaska.
Yeah, but then they immediately abandoned it.
They were there for about 1,000 years, I think you'll find. So, not immediately abandoned.
Yeah, but that in Civ, that's only like 2020.
Unless you're up the end of the...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, other stuff for the mods. I'm looking at hypothetical as well, like China. Like there's all these rumours about this 1421 tour that this Chinese general or admiral did and discovered the world, basically. Pretty fetched, but it'd make a really good scenario to be based on. And as you said, I'm looking at, you know, Africa as well, because there was a lot played within, you know, just discovery down the west coast of Africa as well. Like, it was really where it all began.
That'll be sweet.
Mm. Too, and I heard the Chinese were able to sail pretty much all the way down the eastern coast of Africa to about the Horn, you know, which is pretty darn far. You're going all the way around India and whatnot, and went through Indonesia, but unlikely they would have reached the New World because of the very stormy seas up in the northern areas, you know, around Alaska, they would have had to go through.
Yeah, but the possibilities there, I mean, the Bering Strait, it's not exactly that wide.
Well, I'm saying it's not the
white.
I go up there.
Cry.
You know I'm going to keep doing that this whole episode.
Oh, yeah, I had to expect it.
I told him my making fun of his accent would be elaborate.
Maybe, Dale, can you explain, tell a little bit what the first Age of Discovery scenario is about? Because in my opinion, it's the best Civ 4 scenario out there, so I think you should definitely give it a go.
You have a fan, Dale.
Yay! Alright, the first Age of Discovery is actually one of the, I think it was the first big full conversion mod as well, for Civ 4, but it came out about 6 months after Civ 4 vanilla version came out. It was sort of like my tribute to colonization, the original game, where you had, you know, a number of, you know, you had a little bit of the old world and you had to sail west and find the new world and, you know, explore it and colonize it, and there were native tribes, there were all the things you would expect in an Age of Discovery mod. There was, you know, war, there was old world politics. So I brought in new concepts that hadn't been seen in Civ before, things like, starters, the artillery ranged bombardment, that was where that first began. There was also trade vessels, so like your new world cities would generate a trade vessel and it would automatically sail across to the old world and you could use your pirates to capture them. Pirate hunters, I brought that in as well, so that you could hunt down the pirates that were capturing your trade vessels. There was a lot of tiny little things like that that I brought in, which also eventually, some of them made them into later iterations of Civilization, like the Hidden Nationality.
Oh, and also the pillage trade routes, naval activity is also straight from AOD.
Yep. Exactly.
Dale's fingerprints is all over the game you know and love.
Sorry.
All right. Let me ask you a favor. I want you to do something for me before we move on.
Yeah.
I want you to say crikey, but I'm going to add like reverb to it and make it sound all cool. Just say crikey.
Crikey. Crikey. Crikey.
Oh, God.
Wow, that one almost got me. He jumped out of the pond and, my God, he was huge! Crikey!
Oh, my God.
Call us if you have any feedback. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, it's a UK number, 441-21-288-7659. That's 441-21-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Alright. Now, Dale, I can't even begin to describe to you how happy I am that you showed up on the show. In fact, I can begin to describe to you. My nipples are so hard, I could cut diamonds.
Oh, gee, thanks, guys. It was such a pleasure to come on the show.
Now, wait a second. Oh, are you trying to do your American accent again?
Was I?
I don't know.
Or was it Canadian?
It might have been. We'll have to consult our resident Canadian expert, but he's not on the show. He's on the sibling show, Polycast.
Now, how was that a leading Polycast, eh?
Oh, I'm plugging everything today.
Shamelessly, too.
Well, Dan is technically my boss, so I'm going to shamelessly plug him. I'll shamelessly plug anything he asks me to plug. That sounded wrong.
The only thing he hasn't plugged yet is Second Revolution.
Well, that's because I'm busy with this darn show, and I never work on it anymore. And one of these days, I'm going to segment a highlight and say, hey, if you're really bored, help me with my mod. I need help.
Third Revolution.
Yes. Overthrow me, Garrett Tsutsaga, and take over Second Revolution for yourself.
Well, we tried that before, but you came back.
Counter-revolution.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, a lot of stuff we talked about today. This episode was smooth and delicious. And
it's actually a manageable length to edit for a change.
And that's all because Dale is himself so long, but yet a manageable length.
Okay.
One last thing. Me and Tony give a shout out to our man, Mr. Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Victorious at last.
That is right. Barack Obama is now the President of the United States of America.
No, the world.
The world. He is President of the United States of Earth.
He has no power in Australia.
Yeah.
The United Federation of Humans.
Australia will bow to him.
Good luck.
Or face the consequences.
Good luck. We'll rise up and defeat you.
No. We'll ally together to fight together the alien scourge about the attacker.
But we'll win because we got the boxing kangaroos.
And we have Obama. And we have Aussies that say, crikey. Crikey. And they're about to
crikey.
It'll be sweet. All right. This is silly enough already. No more silliness now. We must end all the silliness. Today. Yes. No.
Wait a minute. You're canceling the
show. No. All right. Today, we have been joined with Oscar Elohim. Well, wait a second. 100% less Oscar.
Oh, he's the one who missed.
And
we
have been joined with Walter Locutus Snyders.
Just barely.
Just barely, though.
Bye-bye.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Perlin.
Yo.
Me, Tony Garrett Tsutsaka Keel. Bye. And with special guest, co-host, Dale, the Dale Man, Kent.
Thanks, guys. It was an absolute pleasure.
Join us in 2 weeks, hopefully around that, again, for whatever else we have in store for you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Record date, June 14th, 2008. Sound Clips, copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolliton Civilization site at apolliton.net.